service myself. Thank God for Emmanuel, that God's always with us. And I thank God that His goodness and His mercy follows me all the days of my life. Not a place I can't go, not a thing I can't do. Goodness and mercy ain't right there with me, keeping me straight and in the narrow. And I thank God that the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, in verse number 23, says, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground. From thence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." That's why he done it. That's why he done what they're singing about. He done that because the Bible says he drove out the man. So who was that man? That was Adam. Drove him out. Say, why did he do that? Because he went along with his wives. That's what he felt like he's supposed to do. He fell right in there with her. It wasn't Eve's fault. What is it? He fell right in there. It's a joint effort. But he done it. And that's why God had to send his son to die. I've been in much thought. As the preacher gave me that, I'd sit down to eat dinner last night somewhere about Powell, Tennessee. And I couldn't even eat my dinner. God began to speak to me about what I was supposed to preach. And God began to give me thought after thought after thought after thought after thought. And I couldn't even type them down fast enough, just trying to mind the Lord. And God showed me something Friday as I was walking across the ark. We was on about the third floor, I believe. Me and my wife was just gallivanting around, just kind of looking, just taking it all in. Really don't know what to think or what to comprehend. Just know that it's a big ship. God done a mighty great thing. That's about all I can comprehend at this moment. And I began to look, and I rounded the corner into this exhibit as I come. And I was coming this way and kind of rounded the corner. And there's something sticking on the wall. And I turned to look, and it captivated me. It kind of grabbed my attention. And I couldn't leave. I had to stand there and look. And the word says, "And God banished him." I thought, my, my, what it must have felt like to be banished out of the garden, where you had no problems, had no circumstances. The only thing you know, just get up and live life every day. And I don't know what the garden looked like. I watched a video, I believe it's pretty near spot on, and just let my mind just kind of wonder what all the garden might be of. And man, if it was like what that video said, man, it was a great and mighty place. There's just fruit beyond fruit, upon rivers and animals running every which direction. And Adam and Eve was just living life and just living it more abundantly. And they wasn't no problems and everything. Eat the herbs. They wasn't nothing killing nothing because God was just feeding it to them. And it was that great. But I sit there and I looked at that sign and I couldn't help get tore up about what it had been like. I stood there one day when God was about to banish me. Oh God. And I began to think on that thought, and God began to feed me. And I want to preach on this thought tonight. Banished to believing. Banished to believing. You turn your Bibles to chapter number 3 of the book of Genesis, and the Bible says, and you stand with me. Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through verse number 12, and then I'll pick up in verse number 20, finish out the chapter. Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Yea, or ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sew fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard of the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And I'll flip over to verse number 20, and we'll pick up reading. The Bible says, And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and to know lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Our Father, God, I ask thee, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. And Father, I understand, God, I can't do it without you. And Lord, I understand, Father, Lord, that I'm just a little old nothing, Father, just a small stroke to a big painting. Now, Lord, I ask, Father, tonight, God, that you'd touch these that stand by. Lord, I pray, Father, you'd anoint their hearing. And I ask, Father, you'd give me unction, Lord, and illuminate my mind. Lord, I pray you'd give me boldness, Father, to preach what you've laid on my heart. Give me unction, Father. Lord, that I may understand, God, just to preach exactly, Father, how you've sent it from the throne. And I ask, Father, tonight, you'd anoint the hearing tonight. God, that they'd understand it just how you've gave it to me. And I pray, Father, you'd speak to hearts and lives tonight. Help us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Amen. We see tonight, I begin to think, you know, a lot of people say, well, if it hadn't been for Eve, we'd still be in the garden eating fruits. And I've said that quite many times myself. But I begin to think, you know, God could have very well, he could have banished Eve and pulled another woman out of Adam's rib and made another woman. Say, why is that? Because he's God. God can do that. God's got that much power. He could have done that. But God know that that was a joint effort. God know that Eve come out of Adam. Adam's with Eve and Eve was with Adam. And that's how it's going to be. And God said he was going to banish them both. And he did. God banished them, set them out. And we see from then on out that it took a believing and a trusting God. And that took Adam having faith and following God, following what God had to say, and following what God had him to do. It's begin to come through the Bible and see the many great things that God hath done. But if Adam hadn't sinned, where would we be? We wouldn't be here tonight. If Adam and Eve, if they had kept their hands off that tree, God placed that tree there, knowing good and well what was going to happen. I mean, God was not ignorant. God was not knowing. God didn't just sit on the throne and say, well, I'm going to create all this and from dry ground, from dry rocks, I mean from just dry nothing, God said spring forth up grass and herbs and trees begin to grow out of rocks. I mean, how's that happen? Tell me. Tell me how grass just comes up out of rocks and just makes the prettiest old pastures ever was and big old pretty trees and big old pretty canopies and man sitting on a hillside and sitting there, God spoke a fowl into existence and they just appeared and began to fly all across the waterways and man sitting there watching and God spoke over the water animals into existence and they just appeared and began to swim around and eat and God planned all the ecosystems out and how the minnows would feed the bigger fish and the bigger fish would feed the bigger fish and the bigger fish would feed the whales and the whales would feed, and everything was eating and everything and God was using the birds to feed the fish and the fish to feed everything else and how God, just created big old, I don't even know what you call it, but he spoke into existence and all the elephants and the giraffes and the deers and everything come out of nothing. Say, how'd that happen? Bless God, that's God. That's how that happened. And it is all God. And everything had to do with God.
And I'm well aware if Adam and Eve, I mean, God done all that because God knows. God's an all-knowing God, omnipotent. God is everything. He's all holy. He's all sanctified, holy God, sitting on the right hand of the Father, created me, created you, give us all a choice, just like he gave Adam and Eve a choice. I mean, good Lord, if I wish I had that video you could watch just to see, I mean, just how magnificent that must have been. And that that video probably don't even, I mean, I know it don't even do nothing justice what the Garden Eden looked like and how great it was. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine. There's a show in that video and Adam and Eve sitting on a big cliff looking off. I mean, just plumb in the distance and the sun going down and, oh, Lord, they're sitting there, and I can only imagine how God just come down and spoke with them. It was just nothing. I mean, just wasn't nothing, Brother Caleb. God just show up, begin to speak, and them just hear God in his holy voice in the cool of the days as watching the sun go down. Oh, God. And the birds fly back and forth, and God just come by and dwell with them. Say, why'd he do that? Because he loved them. That's why he done that. And I can't even begin to fathom how they're sitting there, and I mean, had it all made, all they had do is lay down, get up, partake, and God just feed it to them. God said, he probably said, Adam, if you'll go down there at the bottom of that holler about where that branch runs into that river, there's a tree down there, you can eat out of, and I believe you'd like it today. He said, well, Adam, now later on this evening, I believe if you'd trek back up on the mountainside, I'm going to show you the prettiest old sunset. Oh, God, a prettiest old sunset, and I'm going to paint it for you. And if you'd even just pick you off a piece of fruit right there and just watch this as I do this, and God just paint that sunset and it go down. I can't even begin to, Lord, I can't even begin to think how God had begun to paint the stars in heaven and Adam and Eve and lay right there under that tree and that rock and everything felt so good. They'd lay there and look how big God was and how all the stars and the universes and everything taking place. And I mean, probably shooting stars going across. And they was laying there, probably wasn't cold, wasn't too hot, about right comfortable because it's the garden watching everything take place. I can only begin to fathom as the birds begin to sing. Adam and Eve begin to get up to another day. She began to walk down through there and she met the old serpent. The old serpent began to fathom around. He is watching everything he's doing. God probably done punted him out of heaven, and that means watching. He's watching him, watching what was going on. I'm sure Adam and Eve is having fellowship and conversation one with another and then the thing, and the devil's attuning an ear in. Devil's listening to what's going on, listening to what's being said. He thought, man, God told him not to eat of that tree, and I believe I can get her. And here come corruption. Here come damnation, hellfire, all this wickedness come a-walking. Now he's walking this time. He come a-walking, I'm sure, got his old strinkly legs, and he come a-walling down through yonder, and he wiggled up in that tree, and he probably speaking to her and talking to her and talking her into sin, talking her into hell. I mean, bless God, like a preacher says, sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go, keep you long than you ever wanted to stay, make you do things, bless God, you didn't want to do. Amen. That's what the devil done. I mean, we'd still be in the, we wouldn't even be here. It'd just be Adam and Eve. But God had a plan. And God began, and the devil began to speak to her and woo her and shoo her and do what the devil does best, and that's manipulate each and every one of our minds and take us further than we ever wanted to go, begin to battle with us and battle with us and battle with us, try to get us to the point of break and break us and break us and break us. Well, he finally broke Eve that day. From that day forward, God banished them. He got rid of them. And we had to believe. We had to believe. We had no option but to believe there is a God. We have no option but to go around today. And I mean, you've got a choice, don't get me wrong, but I'd think plumb foolish to myself to think this thing created from a big explosion or this thing happened because of a big crater smacked the earth. I mean, oh God, what I've seen this weekend, I can only begin to tell you that, I mean, I believed it then. I believe it even more now that there is a God and there is none other. There ain't none other. There's a God and he created every living thing and spoke everything into existence. And if you don't think God can't do that for you, you foolish. We begin having to believe, and I begin to think as I was sitting there at that Mexican restaurant, and God began to speak to me Saturday night, and God began to give me things of why we from being banished to believing and how we got there. And I want you to turn with me now. I see, first of all, In the book of Luke, chapter number 2, about where we read this morning, book of Luke, chapter 2, we see, first of all, Adam had to be banished that Mary could beloved him. Adam had to be banished because Mary wanted to beloved him. She had to beloved him there. And Adam was banished so Mary could beloved him. In chapter 2 of book of Luke, in verse number 6, the Bible says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she could be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." You think about it now. If Adam hadn't ever been banished, if Adam hadn't ever minded, or I mean hadn't ever broke in with the devil and hadn't ever followed in with Eve, if he had just been doing what God told him to do, eat of that tree, go this way, go my way, do what I tell you to do, bless God, they'd still been there. But he didn't, because God knew they wasn't going to do it. God knew he's going to have to send his son. God knew he's going to have to make a way. And God knew that one day he is going to send Mary. And Mary believed. Say how Mary believed, because there's an angel come over top of her. Said, "Listen, bless God, the Lord is favored with you. He's got favor with you. He loves you. He knows." And I mean, that angel could have went in the whole spiel. Said, "Listen, woman, it had been about 1,800 years ago. There's a man named Adam, and he disobeyed, and he got bad. And now you're here, and it's your turn. It's your time. It's time for you to go." But I begin to fathom, bless God, that Adam was banished, that Mary could beloved him. I had to beloved him one day. I had to pick up what was going on one day. That day would have been August 10th or August 8th of 2010. I had to begin to beloved him that day. I had to believe on him because I was standing at the gateway of being banished. I was standing at the gates of hell ready to be banished. I was. Bless God, the devil and the day it wooed me and showed me and tried to drag me off in sin. And God said, he said, "If you don't accept me, I'm going to banish you." That's what he done. That's what he done. Not almost 10 years ago, God had me at the gate ready to banish me. God will do it. God will banish you because God loves you that much. God didn't do all this just to watch you yonder and gallivant around and no dilly-willy on off in the bushes and doing whatever you're doing. God loves you more than that. God loved you enough to send Mary down, do something so supernatural this day and age still can't even comprehend what took place. They sent a virgin to have a virgin birth and make something supernatural just appear out of nothing into a woman's womb. She began to grow with child and got around John the Baptist. He plumb got wild in the womb, so did the Lord. That's what happened. I think second of all, I see over in the book of Luke, a little bit further in chapter 3, in verse number, in the book of Luke, chapter number 3, in verse 1 through 22, the Bible says, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate began being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and of the region of Trachelotinus, and Lysias the tetrarch of Abilene, Ananias and Caiaphas being the high priest. And the word of God came unto John the son of Zacharias in the wilderness, and he came into all the country about Jordan preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and saith unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed unto you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence no man, neither cause, accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh that latcheth of those whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and who will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and the voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Sitting right then and there, Jesus began his 33 and a half year ministry. I mean, just a going and a going and a carrying on. And the Bible, and I think here, second of all, and Adam had to be banished so John the Baptist could broadcast him. Amen. Mary had to love him, and John had to broadcast him. Somebody had to love him to get him there, and somebody had to tell everybody else about him. I may get him to begin to think about all the many things that the Lord could do with each and every one of us. And I don't know who you are, and I don't even really know. I mean, I'm just trying to do what God had me do. But bless God, there's somebody here. Some of you need to love him, and it's time some of you start broadcasting him. Because we got to believe. Because there's people being banished every minute of every day. Every minute of every day. I see thirdly, not only we see John the Baptist broadcast him, I think thirdly here, we see here Adam had to be banished so the crowd could blame him. In Luke 23, in verses 34 through 46, the Bible says, in Luke 23, 13 through 23, Luke 23, 13 through 23, the Bible says, And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accused him. You jump on down here to verse number 16, the Bible says, I will therefore chastise him and release him. Pilate is going to let him go, amen. But he says here, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all the once, saying, Away with this man, release unto us Barabbas. And not only there, you come down verse 21, the Bible says, But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. I even can't even begin to think here. You know, there's people in this day and age that love him. There's people in this day and age. I mean, you're here tonight. You came because you love the Lord. You came because you want to hear more, and you love him. There's people now, God's still calling men of God to preach, and like our preacher, he's coming bringing the word, he's broadcasting him. But then you've got the crowd. You got the crowd here that's trying to do away with us, trying to do away with him. They're trying to blame him. They're blaming us. They're blaming you. That's what they're doing. I see, fourthly, Adam had to be banished so the cross could behold him. I think about in Luke 23, verses 34 through 46, We all know the story. There's many things that's happened there. You think about the many things they gambled over, his robe. They put the crown of thorns on him. They crucified him. And we begin to stand down in the basement of that place yesterday and look at the cross, a picture of a painting that they had going on. And I can't even begin to fathom all the lashes Jesus took for us, all the things he lay up there. I mean, blood just fall on the ground. I begin to look at him and look at all his glory as he is hanging on that cross. And I mean, he is a cut from backside of his calf and his ankles all the way up his hinder parts, all the way up his back. And whoever painted that done such a good job, you could see the flesh just hanging. I mean, just hanging there. But I mean, that was all good and well. And I got to look at that and thought, man, that's one of them small cuts. That was for me, and that had my name all over it. But I began to think about something much more greater than that. I began to look at the ground and think about how God's blood was so much God, so much power, that the ground couldn't even sop it up. The ground couldn't even show that God had been there, because his blood had so much glory. It just puddled up and it just sit there. I mean, probably just gyrating, because the blood was even looking back up at the Father thinking, oh my, what in the world's going on here? But there's so much holiness about the blood. It didn't run off of hell. It just stayed right there. Now, I'm sure, don't get me wrong, there'd been a trail of blood that came up and went up on the cross, but Adam had to be banished that the cross could behold him. The cross just held him up there. Could you imagine even being that tree? Probably, some parts of them ain't no doubt how many hundreds of years old. I mean, you think about how old Moses can live, how old many others can live. Ain't no doubt how old trees can live back then. But I even begin to think maybe God called that tree into existence one day. God called it up and said, rise up. And that tree grew up big and tall. He probably watched Adam and Eve walk through the garden, sit down, and can send a seed and casted that seed. Probably a bird carried it somewhere and planted that seed. And God raised that tree up. Could you even begin to think about that tree? I mean, how it just stood there. God even said the rocks would cry out if we wouldn't. Could you imagine that tree just standing there, just trying to do everything it could do, knowing it's holding the Father, knowing it's holding the Holy Son, watching the blood run down, knowing that tree just standing there. I mean, it's been stopped up in the ground, and I'm sure around the base of that tree, it's probably standing there in the dirt, probably feeling, Lord, I can't feel no liquid. I know there's blood going, but I can't feel it because there's so much blood. It's just a puddling up. There's so much glory, so much holiness. And the tree had to sit there on the cross. Had to behold him. I bet that cross believed. I think not only there, Adam had to be banished. Fifthly, so the tomb could bear him. They see here in John chapter 20, verse number 7, the Bible says in John chapter number 20, in verse number 7, the Bible reads, we'll back up to verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taketh away from the sepulchre, and she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken him away, the Lord, out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, and stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes laying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was full about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And went in also that other disciple, and came first to the sepulchre. He saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away unto their own home. But Mary stood at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked in the sepulchre, seeing two angels in white sitting, and one at the head, the other at the feet. Bible says, and where the body of Jesus had lain, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where that they have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say the master. I can't even begin to think as the tree. I mean, you think about after God got off that tree and he's probably standing there thinking, oh God, what just took place? And the tomb was sitting there waiting for him. Could you imagine being that rock? I mean, having to hold all that glory, thinking that the God of all glory, the God of all glory that has created that rock, set that stone, raised that stone up, brought that stone through the flood and everything else. I mean, God had done all that for that rock, and there's people done, the crowd done shut him up, and the crowd done stomped them out, and everybody done got all hush-hush, didn't really know what's taking place. They done took and killed off John the Baptist, beheaded him, took his head away from him so he couldn't broadcast. They wasn't nobody loving on the Lord, wasn't nobody talking about the Lord. Everybody scared to death, and here clays the tomb. I mean, could you imagine holding the master in all his glory? I mean, could you imagine what the tomb was seeing? I mean, what we can only see Jesus wrapped up in the white sheet, what we portray. But could you even imagine what the tomb's watching? I don't even know my mind. I could probably take you in 150 million directions. Maybe the tomb was watching all his wounds start mending back together because he's God. Maybe he's watching the blood just run back up because God said he's going to gather the blood up, every ounce of it, take it back to the mercy seat just for you and for me. Could you imagine all them blood droplets maybe they's on the stair? They wasn't drying up. There wasn't no amount of oxygen could take that blood and dry it into a dry puddle because that blood had so much power on it. That blood, could you imagine? I'm sure it probably dribbled down to the next spot and dribbled down to the next spot and it just a tumble wave. Maybe it went down there and got at the feet of a holy God just waiting the Lord just pick it up, take it with him. Ain't no telling what the tomb see, but the tomb had to bury him. And I'll tell you what did happen. When that big old crack of thunder and earthquake happened about on the first day of the week, an angel came down. I think angel just kicked the rock out of the way. It might have been so much glory when God himself stood up and said, that's my son, and Jesus stood up in the tomb. The rock probably got out of the way himself because he said, oh my God, the son has stood up. The son has arose. The son is alive forevermore. I think the rock just rolled up and said, go right ahead, Lord. Tell them all about it. Go right ahead, Lord. I'll stand here. Go right ahead, Lord. I'll tell them when they won't nobody broadcast you. I'll love on you when won't nobody love on you. Oh, God, you go right ahead. Oh, angels, have your way. I'm sure the rock just stand there in all its glory, just trying to tell everybody they come by. Well, you know what? That rock's still there today. You know what it's doing? It's believing. And it's telling every person that comes by, there was a God, and there is a God, and there is none other. And your God is dead, but my God, whom I laid and watched lay in here, I watched him walk out. I'm telling you, if we somehow, some way, figure up some kind of wire or something you stick in that rock, let him talk, it'd blow your mind probably what that rock has to say. But I'll tell you what he is, he's believing. He's believing. Because he watched the devil walk up. I'm sure the devil probably walked by the tomb. I'm about certain the devil did. Old sneaky snake Satan come by, probably ricking the rings of death, hell, and the grave on his finger. He probably come by, and I'm sure that the guards probably didn't even know what was going on because there's a supernatural warfare going on. And that devil come rolling by, thought, yeah, oh my. I'm sure that rock's probably standing there thinking, oh devil, you don't see what I see. You can't see what's going on the inside. That devil's probably thinking, oh, I've got him now. I mean, I don't know how that old rock could just bear just to keep his mouth shut of what was taking place because there's something supernatural fixing to happen. I think not only that, I think sixthly, I think how Adam had to be banished so the throne could bless him. Absolutely. I think here we could go 100 different directions. I'll just read a couple pieces of scripture. Matthew in chapter 28. The Bible says in Matthew in 28, in verse number 2, the Bible says in Matthew 28 and verse 2 says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came, rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it." There's that. And we'll jump on over to verse 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, All power is given me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I think not only Matthew, I think in Mark chapter number 16, verse number 4, the Bible says, Mark 16 and 4, the Bible reads, "And they looked, and they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great, and entered in the sepulcher. Saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were frightened. And he saith unto them, Be ye not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they have laid him." Now jump with me. Verse 15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned, shall be banished. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And they shall cast out devils and shall speak with new tongues." I got a new tongue one day. It was about 10, 11 years ago. God gave me a new tongue and a new way and a new talk and a new walk. But I'm telling you, what's the Bible say? It says, "In my name they shall cast out devils." You got that power. Don't look at me foolish. You got that power. You can do it. Say, how can I? You ain't believed that the Lord give you that power yet. The Bible says, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." I think not only there, I think in Luke 24, and about the last little bit there, in verse number 46, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witness of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye endued with power from on high." Said he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. I think not only there, I'll read you one more in the book of John, chapter 20. Verse 22, the Bible says, in John 20, 22, the Bible says here, "And when he had said this, his brethren on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." You think about this now. It says the throne, the Adam had to be banished so the throne could bless him. The throne couldn't bless him until he went and died. Once he died, he had to lay 3 days, and on the third day, I rise back again and ascend back to glory with the blood. It took the blood for the throne to bless him. God loved him, but God knew what the situation was. God knew what he set out to do when Adam partake of the fruit with his wife Eve, and God banished him. God knowed that there had to be beheadings. God knowed there had to be betrayals. God knowed there had to be, just everything under the sun. And Jesus come on this earth, lived 33 1/2 years, died on an old rugged cross, carried down back off of Calvary into a tomb, lay there 3 days, on the third day rise again and go back to glory with the blood and apply it on the mercy seat for there to ever be anything for us. I think seventhly, and I'll be done, I think Adam had to be betrayed or had to be banished so that we could believe on him. All this had to happen for us to have a way. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You ought to know that like a back of your hand. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's that simple tonight, church. I'll give you one piece of scripture and I'll get out of the way. Revelation 22 in verse 13, the Bible says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right on to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and scorners and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let them that hear us say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Banished to believing. Banished to believing. I've given you 7 points, I believe, what the Lord's gave me. Maybe it'd be a help on you tonight. You can chew on it. There's somebody, I don't know who you are and what you're dealing with, but you're on the point of being banished. And it's time for you to believe. Whether you're watching by way of Facebook or whether you're standing here tonight, I believe firmly. God's laid it on my heart as somebody stands in need of believing.